Oh my God, Curzon, look at his ship. It is so big. It looks like one of those mission whoring ships. Who understands those Care Bears? Doesn't everyone want to gank noobs in LoSec? I mean, faction fittings. I can't believe it's so pimped. Why would anyone put that stuff on their ship? Don't they PvP? Must be Care Bear.
I like fat loot and I cannot lie. You missing horse can't deny. When an agent calls up with a brand new case and some pirates to erase, you get pumped. Want a quick refit and accept that contract quick? Some prisoners need saving, so get out that Navy Raven. Oh hell yeah, down in the slavers, my favorite flavor. I know this might sound corny, but that loot you got makes
me so horny.
Amber, roads at the warp in, not mining it would be a sin. Shine it, strip mine it, then haul it away and refine it. I like them big rats and little bitty frigates that swarm like gnats. Fat loot, even bounties on top to boot. I'm tired of PvPers saying Empire's only for queers. I got a Care Bear stare and an angry glare. Try mission running if you dare. Garistas,
yeah!
Blood Raiders,
yeah!
Your rat ship's got fat loot.
Hell yeah!
Well, shake it,
shake it,
shake it,
shake it.
Drop me faction gear. Rats got loot. Rats got loot. I like to lock and kill them, then tractor and loot them. I just can't help myself. I love this carnage. Now time to salvage. I'm gonna mission run and double up. I'm talking to accounts, cause no mission runner should be without. I got my main right here to tank it, and an ultin gang to shank it. These rats are in trouble, I turn their fleet into rubble. So I'm watching PvP videos, two big blobs exchanging blows. Looks like fun, I suppose. I'd rather mission run and doze. A word to the NPCs, I'm down on my knees. Drop fat loot, please, cause I gotta be straight when I say I wanna rap. To the break of dawn, I got it going on. A lot of pirates won't like this song, cause griefers don't play in Empire. LoSec ain't something I desire, cause they glare and they dare. But I don't gotta prove I got a pair. So ladies, ladies, you pirates all have rabies? Climb aboard, check it out. Even pirates got to shout, rats got loot. Rats got loot. Dude, when it comes to making ISK, LoSec ain't got nothing on Empire Space. They say I should mission run in LoSec because the rewards are greater.
Thanks, Grubbin!
Only if it's Tech 3. So you PvP and a huggin', pimped out fittings and you're ready to win. Your huggin' ain't got crow wings and a spoiler fin. My Navy Raven don't want none unless you got loot, son. You can PvP or forum troll, but let me run my missions. Some mission runners don't even loot or salvage their wrecks to boot. They toss it and leave it, and I pull up quick to retrieve it. Your alliance says you're lame, and your career is a shame. It's all the same, play your own game, let them flame. To the gang squad blobs with the big E-peen, we don't need your cuisine. Give me a level 4, I'm too hardcore, a mission running machine. Those rats, they tried to kill me, so I go on a killing spree. Turn on my booster and let out the drones, then go AFK and watch a movie. So fellas up the wall, it's low, and the action in LoSec is slow. Dial 1-900, I'm a Care Bear and start those level 4s. Rats got loot. Rats got loot. Easy to shoot and they got fat 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 loot.
Hello and hello, hello! Welcome to the long-delayed, again, Warp Drive Active podcast. We're back with a vengeance.
We are.
Could you sound a little bit more enthusiastic about that, please, Blinky?
Oh, man. Yeah, well, of course I'm enthusiastic. It's been a long time. So, yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a while. Perhaps my partner in crime here can explain why it's taken so long. Urban, go.
It's all the fault of the Bader Meinhof cult.
Ah, the what?
People desperately clicking away on Wikipedia for that. It's all their fault, right? Nothing to do with us, not our problem.
Sure.
And you can't get me to admit anything different.
Of course. Let's blame it on the cults. It's always the cults. Jeez.
Yeah.
Last time, what was it, Mormons?
I think they might object to you calling them a cult.
Technically speaking, all organized religions kind of cultish, but anyway, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, let's go into trouble here. I will say one thing which is annoying about... I think the Mormons, are they the Church of Jesus Christ something? Is that them?
The Latter-day Saints guys? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's them, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they actually come and they do mission stuff over here with us British sinners.
Yeah, it's actually something, if I recall correctly, they have to do... Well, they don't have to, it's very heavily encouraged, but at a certain point, they all kind of at one point have to do some kind of thing like that where they go around to a different country, and ideally a different country, and kind of spread the word a bit.
Yeah, because they're always incredibly well-dressed Americans, young people, you know, obviously not, you know, nice people, very smartly dressed, with that perfect American teeth that just kind of freaks us British people out, right? They're just too perfect to the teeth. It's just wrong. Do you know what I mean here?
It's like play spot the tourist in London, right? It's like, exactly. Everyone smile. Oh, there we are. Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway, so they see them in the town centre and stuff. And I swear there's like, you know, 300 people out shopping on the town centre street where I live, right? Every single bloody time they come up and want to talk to me. Always. I don't know what it is.
You look,
I mean,
like the most... You look like you need the most help, maybe. That's, I think, why.
That could well be it, actually, yes.
I think it's like a part of it is like they find the toughest challenge and try to overcome it. So they say,
going to hell.
Yeah, so they look at you and they're like, oh, that one. No. That's the one right there. Then they have a fight amongst themselves over who gets to try.
To be honest, this won't mean anything to you, but to the British people listening, right, I live in Staffordshire. Believe me, there are plenty more people who do not follow the whole thing of, like, saintly living than I do. Hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. Got a reputation, Staffordshire, and I won't say any more.
It's like the industry or something? So...
It's a very much, as Americans would say, blue-collar thing, you know, beer and fights, and then beer and more fights, and then some fights, with a bit of beer with that.
Oh, man.
But, you know that kind of town.
Of course, well, yeah. So, but anyway, quickly, what else have you been up to these days? Well, I mean, it's been a while since we did a podcast, so there's got to be a huge pile of stories that you've got. Just you know, distill it down for us all.
So, I have been, well, let me put it to you this way, right? I think, again, a lot of people know that I work in the power generation industry and distribution industry. I've got various roles which I do in it, project work and stuff, right?
Shovel coal.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. like the furnace with matches and, like, rolled up newspaper.
Exactly.
not that kind of stuff. The thing about the UK is, at absolute peak demand, it's 57.5 gigawatts, give or take, right?
Uh-huh.
The UK currently has a generation capacity, if everything is working perfectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
58 gigawatts.
Huh. So, kind of getting there.
Yeah. I've never seen it this bad and this close. I mean, it's... And, you know, to be fair, I haven't worked in the industry that long, so it doesn't mean a lot. But the 30-year veterans are worried, so that's kind of a problem.
Hmm.
So, yeah, if you're in the UK, stock up on candles.
Or, you know, turn off your consoles or something once in a while. These Xboxes get pretty warm.
They do it that. Well, to be honest, though, you've only got a few Xboxes contributing it, because the rest of them are, like, off being repaired or broken.
Exactly. Those the red lights on the red ring of death, man, they're pretty high power.
So the short answer is I've been driving around the country and working at loads of sites, and I just haven't had time to log in, so I'm fairly sure I am going to log in and find I've been sacked from my corp again. So what can you do?
Beg to get back in, I guess, is all you can do.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, sir?
Working like crazy, as usual. Silly crunch time stuff going on at work, as usual. Like, I don't know what it is, we're kind of on a contract with the government, so it's really funny. They'll have these peak periods, which is like every 2 or 3 months, you know, versus like, you know, their fiscal year's end of March, so it's a big crunch for that. And then it's like everyone's got to get stuff done before summer hits, because then everyone goes on vacation, so it's going to get that done. And then, you know, getting ready for, you know, fall and stuff, everyone wants to get that last little bit of vacation before the snow hits, so they've got to get that done. Then Christmas, then March again. It's just, it's cyclical, it's annoying. So here we are, again, the pre-Christmas rush to get things finished, so it's been pretty crazy. Other than that, taking it easy, playing a lot of Eve, actually, doing a whole bunch in there, which we'll get into shortly. Other than that, drinking a lot. not that either any of these things has driven me to become an alcoholic, but just there's been, it's like party season or something, so, oy. It's kind of, I'm testing my liver. Oh.
Yes. And you probably noticed that neither of us were at FanFest. That's because we suck.
Well, yeah, that was, actually had sort of intended to go this year, but the one reason I couldn't commit to it was just this whole crazy business with work that's going on. So it just happened that the schedule would have completely just not been good for me actually getting projects done. So, couldn't make it.
Yeah, it just wasn't a doable year. Apologies, guys. We will try to be there 2009.
No. We will be there 2009.
Remember, there's still a question mark whether I'll be let back in the country.
That's fine. You could live the happy life in Iceland. The place is awesome. But
I'm probably about as popular as Gordon Brown is, to be honest.
Huh. That's interesting.
Do you see that?
See what specifically?
Gordon Brown, for those of you who don't know, is a British Prime Minister, right?
Uh-huh.
There was a big financial collapse, which you may have noticed.
No.
Including rather a lot of money which British people had in Icelandic banks.
Yeah, and then England turned around and became a bunch of douchebags for a little while towards Iceland. That was pretty crazy to watch.
Well, not just douchebags, but we kind of call them terrorists.
And yeah.
It's not really going to make you popular, is it?
No. No. It might not be as easy for you to waltz into Iceland after all. Because normally Icelandic customs is pretty easy.
Yeah.
They just walk in, it's like, oh, you walked on your own 2 feet, did you? Yes, you're in. And it's really, they just kind of look at your passport for a while. Oh, yeah, cool, yeah, bye. And it looks like it's nothing. It's just crazy.
Can I just put my hands up here and just say that was one of many decisions made by this current government which I really don't agree with, and you know, sorry you guys got so stung by it, really.
Well, there was a lot more to that whole financial crisis than just what England did. I'm sorry to say, man. I know you live there, but it's like you guys aren't the center of the world anymore.
But anyway, let's talk about Eve. God damn it!
Yeah, what's up with that? What's going on with Eve, man? Tell me.
I don't know!
Why don't you know? Why it's don't like, you know?
Because I suck. I'm sorry, people.
Oh, dear.
I haven't logged in, haven't really checked the forums much. You know, I'm kind of, crap.
Urban.
Hold on, why do I have to, you know, frustrate myself and take a beating? Do you have any good in-game news?
Potentially. Just hold on 1 sec, I'm looking for a thread. No, just like,
you see, he gives me abuse, but when it comes down to it, you've been called into this meeting, Mr. Blink, and you're not organized. How'd you plead?
Just hold on 1 sec here, dude. It's been a while since we've all been together, obviously, right? I mean, so there's been a lot of stuff that's happened. And, when was the last time we did a podcast? I mean, October 2nd. Ouch. So, yeah. So obviously, lots and lots of stuff has happened. But I think that the biggest events recently will be enough to sort of discuss for this podcast, and we'll go forward from here. Obviously, the South is heating up in a humongous way. AAA has been moving in towards Goon Swarm territory a little bit, and there's been quite a bit of action happening there. But of course, you know, that alone is not enough for the people in code to rabble on about. So AAA has actually, well, they're working with Bob versus the Goons.
Oh.
Interesting, no? I'm not lying about this, man.
This is not a Bob Pett. AAA are better than some of the people they've been going with, you know. Ooh, that sounds so wrong, that, but AAA are better than the kind of crap Bob normally hangs around with.
Well, I mean, like, these are, you know, essentially mortal enemies of the past.
Yeah.
Really, I mean.
Yeah.
So where this sort of ties into what I've been up to from what we talked about earlier, just very briefly, is that, of course, body count's now down there, fighting for the side of AAA, which is really hilarious listening on TeamSpeak to a bunch of Russians yelling at each other. It's really actually kind of cool. But we've been down there sort of in and around the VNG area, playing around with goons. So it's led to some pretty ridiculous fights, very, very large fights. There was one that happened last week sometime? I can't remember the day now. My brain's like fried. But it was 1,000-plus people fighting. It was... I wish I could have been there for it because I was stuck at work, but I was like, please, someone give me updates. But yeah, it was... That's the kind of stuff that's going on down there. It's just insane. And that was...
Hold on. What does Bob think about BDCI being involved on their side again?
So far, I don't know. There hasn't really been a direct... Not that I've seen, at least. I haven't seen a direct post regarding body count. I don't see why they would...
They had some... They probably still have, but they certainly had some fairly strong feelings about the whole Tortuga thing. It's about a year and a half ago now, something like that.
It's about that long. I thought it was less. Well, I mean, I'm sure they do. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Like, everyone's kind of keeping their eye on, I guess, that little bit, at least in body count. But, I mean... From our perspective, at least, I don't think that... I mean, our pilots are basically just, you know, we're fighting for AAA, we're going against the goons, that's really it. If there's other people that are allied with us to do that, then fine. That's really fine for us. I mean, it's like not... you're not going to see people taking pot shots at each other. Although, apparently, the day they first arrived down in the 68FT area, they shot up one of our pilots, but I think it was basically a standings issue. He looked neutral to them, or probably... red. So until that got fixed, this one poor fellow got mangled. So
did they compensate?
I have no idea.
Alright.
But anyway, the greater conflict, of course, is much more interesting because I mean, Bob essentially up to this point has been doing the Max business, right?
Yep.
So this is a little bit of redeployment for them. I'm not entirely sure if they're moving all of their stuff down, obviously, into the South, which would be kind of strange. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because they've got some stuff going on up North. They'll either walk away from it, and it'll get taken back by somebody. You know, and maybe they might end up getting pinched. Who knows how that'll work out, because, you know, once people start to realize that Bob's now swinging in another direction, maybe they'll try and flank them. I don't know. But it should make the events happening down South a lot more interesting. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on down there. A lot of big fights.
Well, the Bob v. Goon ceasefire couldn't last.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's too much, you know, even for Eve, there's too much history there.
Oh, yeah. And there's been, I mean, Goons have been kind of quiet lately. I mean... It, like, just in general, like, I don't know. I mean, they're still playing Eve, of course, but I think a bunch of them ran off to do, like, you know, Warhammer and stuff like that. And of course, Lich King came out. So I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I mean, the sort of last several months, at least for me, I haven't really heard too much of them doing anything silly in Eve. This is not the case now. There's like they're showing up in force down there. I mean, it's pretty amazing, actually. it's not like they're just kind of rolling over and losing territory. There was some pretty serious fights in there, and goons were there in force, putting up a good fight. So it's been pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, I do kind of get the that impression, actually, with the goons, that they are... They obviously went for Age of Conan, got bored, came back, and then they went for the other games, got bored and came back. By the way, did you see for Wrath of Lich King, did you see all those dorks queuing on the news waiting there? There's like in Oxford Street in London, there was like about 4,000 blokes and 2 girls queuing for midnight for when Wrath of the Lich King went on sale at HMV in Oxford Street. I'm thinking, dorks.
Yeah.
Some of them are dressed up for it.
Of course. I mean, why not?
God.
Why would you do that? You know, I mean, dignity's gone right out the window, anyways. That you're lining up for that particular game. So, I mean, might as well do it dressed up.
Yes.
God.
Dorks.
They're WoW fans. They're WoW fans, man. What can we say? But no. I mean, hey, you know what? But that game did sell a ridiculous amount. They broke records, right? I think that was, if I remember correctly, they now have the largest one-day selling of a game, which is hilarious because it's an expansion that they're selling for as much as a game. But yeah. Which people have already maxed out and finished all the content in less than 2 days. It's just hilarious.
Well, that's always going to happen with any expansion.
I know.
And yes, we will be talking about Quantum Rise in a bit.
Well, but it's just, I find it funny that, you know, funny in a way, I'm sad for the guys at Blizzard who put months and months and months of effort into this stuff and people just steamroll it. I mean, I can see why people do it. They want to be first on their server and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, once that's done, then you go back to being, you know, the non-unique snowflake that you actually are when you play that game, so...
Yeah, but I'm sure their pain is helped a little bit by the vast pile of money they've got trucked into their headquarters, with new trucks of money just appearing every 5 minutes, you know. I mean, that can, like, you know, solve a lot of headaches. You can buy a lot of aspirin with that kind of money.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a lot of money. But anyway, that's a game we don't like to talk about.
Yeah, you saw what happened when they did Hordecast on the drone bay.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, Kroven.
That was a good episode. But speaking of Kroven, Kroven's in body count now. Woohoo!
Yeah, I heard that.
Pulled him back from Warhammer. Now he's flying on the side of light. So this is good. But yeah, it's. Anyway,
as opposed to marching on the side of green.
Yes. Well, but I mean, anyway, this whole business going on down in the south really is something that is quite awesome, because when you think about what's happening down there, you've got, I don't know, would you consider 3 of the largest power blocks in the game now completely at each other's throats?
What's Red up to? So, well, yes, by saying 3 of the largest power blocks, so. You know, yeah, it's, you know, what, 3 in the top million power blocks in EVE?
this is true. Hold on.
This is not the Great War Part 2 yet. It could turn into it. But what our Russian friends are doing is a big factor. And I will stop doing this very bad accent right now.
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to get with that one. But, it's definitely... It's definitely craziness. And then, you know, who knows whether or not people like Triumvirate are going to come down and join the party. You know? I mean, there'll be interesting days ahead. Pandemic Legion. Everyone's invited!
Yeah.
No, I mean, who knows?
Which side would you want to join, though, if you're an alliance? Do you join the side of Bob or the side of Goons? It's not a great call in either case.
It's yeah, that's a tough choice. I don't know. Which one would you join? How would you weigh those odds? Like, I don't know. How would you do this?
I would join the Goon side just so I could get Sue Ash to serenade me in with his wonderful songs.
He's talented.
This is why I've never been trusted to be one of the strategic guys when it comes to the corp management.
No. Oh, man. So, yeah, but anyway, this would be something that's definitely worth keeping the eye on. Like, it's been a while since the South has really kind of heated up, and like I said, after a couple of the fights down there, the map looked hilarious when you clicked on, like, you know, ships blown up in the last 24 hours, this gigantic red blob happening down in the South. It's quite beautiful.
We will discuss actually the whole big fight thing coming up when we discuss Quantum Rise as well.
Yes, we will.
Because they're big.
And they're fights. They're big fights.
Yes, the name doesn't lie.
No.
This is awful podcast.
I know, we're terrible.
We are terrible this week.
Nah. No, but I mean, like I said, part of the thing is that you have nothing to say on this because you haven't been playing.
Yeah.
So it's actually all my fault.
It's the fault of my government for not investing in power infrastructure until they suddenly realize, oh wait, everything's going to hell.
At least you have job security that way. That ain't too bad.
I've got to say that, yeah, given what some people are going for, I really shouldn't complain being too busy. So, yeah. It's just never a happy medium, is it?
No.
You've either got tons of time in your skint, or you're actually doing okay, but you've got no time at all.
Indeed.
Or if you're me, you're skint and working all the hours, God sends. That's another matter.
Yeah. Anywho. Yeah, other than that, there was, oh God, what was it? Somebody lost a Titan this week. It was actually newsworthy to ISD, but it was, the first Titan that was killed without capital ships?
Well, the AFK or something. How'd you do that?
I don't know. Ask Razor. It was, it was Razor Erebus. So the fleet that took them down was just purely battleships, some capitals, so...
You'd think that would take a while, because the standard method of taking a Titan down is you get the dreads in there, get them in siege mode, and they're going to actually be pumping out some really evil damage, and that can take down a Titan fairly sharpish, but that's much more damage than... Well, maybe we've got 1,000 battleships, you might be
but
okay.
According to this article, at least, and, you know, grand salt, but, yeah, they say, everything from Apocalypse-class battleships to Tyrannus interceptors converged on the scene and opened fire on the helpless Erebus. Initial reports estimate over 300 ships assaulting the helpless Titan. So...
That's probably quite good DPS after all, actually.
Total of over 200 million damage, according to, some kind of kill board. Ow,
yes, that's fair. Okay, that's quite impressive. Well, depends what it is. If it's like, you know, 299 Tyrannuses...
Yeah. Don't kid yourself, man. Don't kid yourself. Interceptors have really come into their own, which we'll get into a bit later. But yeah, they're a hell of a lot of fun. But still,
yes, interceptors v Titan.
Yes.
Even if they've got, like, you know, the Immortaranis.
Yes.
Is that still immortal? Is that still alive?
The original one is. Two of his brothers are not. So, same fitting, it's that they both have got bathed in blood and got their action out of their, you know, systems and stuff, but yeah, they, I lost a couple
got
of them.
Got everything else out of their system.
Yeah, pretty much. Lost my pod. So, but a couple of them did go down. So yeah, anyway, I'm not really complaining about it. There's just way too much fun to be had with interceptors right now. But apparently, according to this, they managed to get off a Doomsday, the Aurora Omine. Which is the Galente Doomsday. And I hurt a lot of people, but not enough.
I still say the Doomsday which the Avatar has is the sexiest looking one.
It's just a big bright ball of light.
Yeah, well, it's kind of it. Just the Titan battles I've normally seen actually on TQ, this is normally through videos, I haven't been involved in any myself. It just tends to be like lag, ball of light there. But I have actually seen these done nicely on a development server, and it does actually look pretty cool. You have like glowing balls of light and get lighter and lighter, and then everything dies.
Mm-hmm. Which is the opposite of pretty much the Galente one, which is a big ball of blackness, which gets darker and darker and darker. and everything
antimatter,
explodes.
Apparently.
There you go. Then everything and explodes.
The Minmata fires a load of missiles in random directions in a very Minmata style.
Those look great, though. That's probably one of my favorites, just because it looks awesome. Like, everything was flying off in all different directions, all sorts of explosions everywhere.
It looks cool. As I said, the lag monster doesn't like it, but...
No doubt. Well, that is the issue, is that you get hundreds of people dying at once, and the server just kind of, dies.
What does the Leviathan do?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I have actually not seen a Leviathan fire off a Doomsday.
Answers on a postcard, please.
Yeah.
Or an email. That's probably much more sensible.
There's probably a video.
About to be...
it's probably a video out there somewhere about it. Let's just see here.
Yeah, E-Files is broken at the minute, by the way, which sucks.
Hello. There is, YouTube to be had.
There is YouTube to be had. But E-Files is broken, and that sucks.
Yeah, what's up with that? Cribber.
Cribber. Actually, to be fair, he has posted saying it's broken, and he's fixing it. So, at least he's noticed.
Yeah.
Anyway, we cannot criticize anybody, least of all his lordship, Mr. Cribber, for being unreliable. Can we now?
No. No, we cannot. And we shall not. I found one of the Leviathan. It looks like a great big ball of light and electricity or something. It looks like basically a storm cloud or something. Here, I'll send you the link. You can stare at it and gape in awe.
Then we're not going to suggest you actually just build one and then find out.
Well, you can if you like.
Given I've got... I've only got battleship level Kaldari skills, so. Yeah.
I
have to go quite a long way before I can fly one of their Titans.
Anyways, regarding the rest of Alliance news, there is, of course, the usual stuff going on up north, which is just absolutely madness. Like I said, the big news last little while has definitely been the stuff down in south. I mean, it was like the amount of pages that one thread went to in code was like ridiculous almost instantly. This thing was like 10 pages, like over like span of like 2 minutes. It was crazy. So yeah, a lot of people had some very strong feelings about it, apparently, of Bob joining up with AAA versus the Goons. So should be interesting times ahead, and we'll keep you guys posted.
A lot of people have got some very strong feelings about the way code works now.
This has been a while since we've been at this, and yeah, so now they've got limits on the type of people who can post in there, right? You have to have, you have to be a minimum 10-man corp or something, or an alliance.
So yeah, my response to this is thank God for that.
Yeah. Yeah, but... definitely. I think overnight, and basically the intent here is that it just cleaned up all the random alt postings that was happening. Well, I'm not going to say it cleans up all of them. But it definitely did reduce the noise substantially overnight. That eventually finds
place. For a day until, all these bloody whiners form the, Code Whiners Corp.
Yeah, so...
part of the Forum Warrior Alliance.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Actually, there probably is a Forum Warrior Alliance in the game somewhere. I've never heard of them, but there probably is one.
Probably is.
Stavros leads them.
So they did this obviously for obvious reasons. I mean, it's code is crazy. And it, like I said, it definitely does reduce the general amount of noise that you do get on there, which is just people just posting random crap.
Noise is the word. You want something a lot ruder.
Well, no, I'm just saying. So, I mean, obviously the one issue that people have with it is that there are some smaller corps that do actually affect a serious amount of change in the game. And they had some issues with this whole change to the way that code posting worked. I don't know. I'm kind of like... the greater good is served more by having this change put in, therefore I'm happy with it.
You probably noticed that me and Blicky do actually really suck at doing this, right? You're probably quite well aware of this. But fear not, because the wonderful EVE Tribune site, which you can find at eve-tribune.com, I don't know how they do this, but they've got some dude who actually provides, up-to-date Alliance stuff. His name is Zach Aldane. You've seen this, haven't you?
Which stuff? The current...
current Alliance, what's going on in Alliance, just little updates.
Yeah, I forget what he... Yeah, current active campaigns or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Well, they've got a few different bits and pieces, but in general, Eve Tribune is epic win for doing this, and I don't know how you guys do it. Presumably by being more organized than us.
More active than Urban. It's probably one of the bigger ones. Not too tough. But yeah, no, they've definitely got the finger on the pulse there and a lot of issues. Eve Tribune, definitely one of the... I mean, it's a cool little site. I'm not going to say that every damn article is completely 100% accurate, but I mean, like, it's free. It's pretty
fun. Hold on, we cannot criticize people for inaccuracies either.
Anyway, just simply saying that, like, you know, it's a pretty good read, and definitely one of those ones that you'll catch Mr. M drop a post every once in a while on general discussions when he releases a new Tribune, and it sometimes just kind of floats away, but definitely, you know, you should definitely add Eve Tribune to your list of things to check out. Really great little site.
Oh, and in addition, you should really donate to Eve Tribune if you've got some cash there. So if you chat to Mr. M, he will tell you how to do it, and you'll get your name listed on there. And basically, it's just money which goes to paying the writers for Eve Tribune. So, you know, if you've got a few isk kicking around, or presumably a few million isk, giving them 4 isk probably wouldn't go down too well. Why not give them some?
Every little bit helps, man.
It's a service to the community.
There you go. So, one other interesting tidbit that happened back... this is going back a couple weeks at least. Shrike, his Titan, his avatar. It's lost. Blown up.
You can't see me, but I'm playing the violin.
It's...
You know, the loss.
This one's lasted a while.
They're probably getting quite smelly by now, to be honest, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, this one's been chased after for quite a while, and it finally got blown up. So, yeah, a lot of us were kind of like, "Wow, finally!" But there you go. But you know what? Again, it's one of those issues where it's like it's not like he was hiding with it. That thing was used a lot. So,
didn't he lose another one?
He did lose another one.
Yeah.
Just going to get back to that one, but there was...
There's me spoiling the punchline.
There was, I think, if I remember correctly, and this is now going back long enough that it's beyond my medium-term memory, I guess, but yeah, that there was the replacement that got blown up as well. And I'm trying to dig up the forum thread about this, and of course it's on code, so it's all over the place. Let's see here.
Is he going after Tyrek Zork's record? Is that what we're thinking about?
That's a tough one to beat. I mean...
And to be honest, both of them are now going to go and deck me if they ever see me in real life after that comment.
There's a lot of people who want to do that. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
But if they want to... I mean, I'm kind of handling the queue for that. So if they want to get first dibs, just talk to me. Work something out.
The bidding starts at 1 billion isk.
Oh no, don't listen to him. We'll figure it out. It won't be that bad. But yeah, so yeah. Titans are dying a lot these days, man. It's just that there's so many, or that they're just getting used a lot more, or the pilots that are getting them. I mean, Shrike's had a Titan for a while, but there's some newer pilots that are out there that just aren't really familiar with proper Titan piloting. I don't know. But
well, you can build your anti-Titan blob quite a bit easier. Maybe it's that.
That's true. Well, we're seeing it now with subcapitals, right? So, ouch. So, anyway. So bad last couple months for Titans. But there's, like, how many out there? I don't think we're running low on Titans to shoot down.
No, there's still blobs of them, to be honest.
Right. So... And I don't think the loss of a Titan is going to be too harmful to an entity like Bob. How many do they got?
Your allies now, Blinky. You better hope not.
True. But how many do they got now?
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
What would you guess?
We're at least in double figures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What'd you guess? Do you think 20?
But when you say guess is really what it is.
Okay. I don't know. I wonder what I would guess.
If you're in Bob and you'd like to let us know how many titans you've got,
contact Urban Mongrel.
Or Winterblink, you know.
Yay. So anyway, bad last couple months for titans. Tier. Yeah. Moving along. Okay, and now it's time for Fail Mails.
Oh, yes, my favorite bit of the show. In fact, so favorite that we actually forgot to do it first time round. Oh, it's been too long.
It has been too long. So, do you want to go first for this one?
Why not, sir? Why not?
Okay.
Right then, this is one actually been sent to me anonymously because it's actually he's a friend of his or something, so he doesn't want to be known. So, which is fair enough, really. So I won't say who sent it to me, but thank you for sending it. You know who you are, and it's in your MSN now.
Do 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 do. Loading up the link.
This is a Thanatos. He's laughing already. Thanatos flown by Dark Plagueis, Plagueis, from Darkwave Technologies of Pure. Right, this is a fairly old one, actually. This is back in September. Are you ready for this?
I am looking at it, so go.
Yeah. High slots, right? This is a Thanatos-class carrier, right? High slots. Large energy transfer array 1.
Thank
Large
you.
Plasma smart bomb 1. Mid slots. Capacitor recharger, right?
So nothing else in the high slots. Just large
three
flower
energy
bomb.
High shot.
Just a three tech energy. One. Tech one large plasma. Anyway, go on.
Yep. Mid slots. Invulnerability field 2. Capacitor recharger and 3 other type of capacitor recharger.
Yeah, the FBT.
Yeah. What's this guy doing? Low slots.
He wants his cap. I mean.
Yep. Thermic hardener 1, kinetic hardener 1, kinetic hardener 1, large armor repairer 2, large accommodation vestment reconstructor 1. What the hell is that?
Whatever it is, it's worth 125,000 isk. Oh,
and a damage control 2. What is a large? I gotta Google that one.
The large accommodation vestment.
Yeah,
it's just a armor repair. It's a named armor repair. Yeah.
Ah.
I'm curious.
Not a very good one, given the cost of it, though.
No, I'm gonna import this guy. Oh yeah, and what's he missing, Urban?
Oh, anything in his rig slots.
And no drones or fighters to speak of.
No, I was going to get there as well.
Oh, sorry.
Bloody hell. Stealing my bloody punchline.
Yep, that's what I do.
No drones or fighters to speak of.
In a carrier.
In a carrier. In a point 3. In Hakonnen. They're a bit like Harkonnen. Sci-fi by reference.
Fairly.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, as you can see, this is a truly, truly stunning fit. Thank you to your friend for dropping you in this one, Darth Plagueis, or whatever you pronounce it.
Probably, Plagueis. Anyway.
It was killed by looking at it, quite a lot of bobbits and, their mates and stuff. Not really surprising.
1.1 million hit points. And a total firepower of 33 DPS. Fearsome carrier fit.
33 from the smart bomb.
Yeah, that's, ouch.
Total ship loss is a smidge under a billion here.
Oh. Anyway.
Oh dear, yes.
Nice one.
So yeah, have you got one better, sir?
I had a hard time sorting through all the ones that I got sent, and I actually still have a handful I haven't had a chance to go through. So there's probably some that are maybe worse. I don't know. But The issue is that I had... the reason I picked this one is just the scale of it is astonishing. So let me go through this here. And before I mail this to you... Okay, so we'll see if you can sort of get where this is going. This is a Hyperion battleship.
Okay.
It's a Galente battleship.
Yeah, Galente Tier 3 battleship.
Right. In a 0.4 system, okay, this is what he's got on this thing. Okay, so fitted in his high slot, he's got four 350mm Gauss guns, rail guns, yep. Plus three prototype one Gausses, so, yeah. Wait, so this is okay, so seven in total, sorry, read it wrong. Loaded with antimatter L, blah, 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 and a drone link augmenter. Okay. Weird right away, because, you know, Hyperion's typically considered more of a blaster boat than anything else,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just kind of flexible that way. In his mids, he's basically got five Capri Charger 2s.
Are you going to give me the link to this one?
No, not yet. We'll get there. Hold on. Okay, maybe I'll send it to you right now.
Right, yeah.
What's that?
Okay, five Capri Charger 2s, you were saying.
Right, right.
Yep.
In his lows, he's got, a damage control 2.
Okay, that's fine. Fair enough.
One Centus A-type large repairer. Three Corlum C-type energized adaptive nanos, and one Corpus A-type large armor repair. He's rigged with I just sent Irvin the link. He's rigged with two capacitor control circuit 2s and one capacitor control circuit 1, and a series of drones in his drone bay, and some various charges. Here's where it gets nasty. If you know what those low slots were, you're probably already cringing. Total ship loss, 4.29 billion ISK.
Well, you got the, do you do the rigs?
I did the rigs.
I was kind of gobsmacked there, just looking at the...
No, I did the rigs. So these are some shockingly expensive armor modules the guy's got on. Ow. 4.2 billion ISK. That's a lot for a battleship.
Just a bit.
That's a lot, period.
Yeah, it's a good ship, a Hyperion, don't get me wrong, but, ow. Can we, EPAY, do you think?
You think?
Looks mighty suspicious to me.
Maybe. God. I mean, in terms of a fit, I mean, it's kind of nasty. I mean, he's got an effective HP of, I'm just looking at this in EFT, you know, 82k hit points. Yeah, capacitor stable.
He's only got tech one drones.
Tech one guns so as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you know,
you're looking at a DPS at 275. I mean, it's cap stable.
Well,
I'll give him that
no
much.
Surprises there with what? How many recharges? Five. Yeah.
So yeah, obviously the comments on this one are rather good, but I like the one guy. It goes, you think when someone ransoms you for 150 million and you're flying a 4.3 billion ship, you would just pay the ransom. But apparently not. So, anyway, obviously, you know, I went for the scale of this one. It was pretty tasty.
That's pretty tasty.
So that comes from...
You've done quite well there, because you're not actually going to have to spend too much money on the reward.
Right. Exactly.
Because there's a combination of vastly expensive stuff and cheap stuff. So 49k on a Vespa 1 is going to have to be your reward there.
Yeah, I know. So this is Diddy W of Nexus Aerospace Corp. Find this Hyperion of whatever. Fail. And thank you to...
fail, I believe the term is.
Right. So thank you to Borga El Playa. That'll be your mail that you submitted, so we'll be sending you some ISK.
and I will be sending 120 ISK for the Armor Kinetic Hardener 1 to my anonymous friend. Thank you again for sending me that.
And
don't spend it all at once, guys.
ISK sent. There we go. You're a winner.
I'm glad you spelt it in the leet way as well.
Oh, but of course.
You do your winner.
Exactly.
In that racing game. The big rig game, whatever it was called.
Oh, man.
If there was a fail mail section for computer games, that would win it.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what we got for fail mails this week.
If you've got any mails you would like to send us, email Mongrel or Winterblink. And if we like your mail and if it gets read out, you can win great cash prizes of 120k ISK or 49k ISK.
I rounded it up to 50k for this fellow just because I'm feeling generous today.
You see, you get a bonus. Now, what other show would do that for you?
What other host of what show would do that for you? Because Urban doesn't do bonuses.
I don't get a bonus, I don't give them.
Just,
what do you want me to do? Grind it up to 121k this armor. Then we'd be evens, would we?
You have to be a giver sometimes, man. Anyway, moving along.
Now, discussion point, and, well, expansion. And guess what? This expansion worked well enough that we don't have to drink Brenowin. Thank God for that!
Yeah, that was... Oh, man. That was... Why do you always gotta bring that up?
Well, thankfully we didn't bring it up, but it was a close-run thing at some stages.
Yeah, so Quantum Rise is out. Can I just say one thing first off? That's a freaking awesome trailer. They need to get more trailers going like that. Did you see the trailer for this?
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
It's wicked. So, anyway, that was really good stuff on the part of whoever the heck did it at CCP, so kudos.
I'm guessing it's Don 3. He tends to do all that stuff. You've met him, haven't you?
Yep. Really great guy. I love this stuff. I mean, obviously, anyone who's checked out EVE trailers, this is the guy that's responsible for it. Really, really impressive stuff. Anyway, Quantum Rise is out. This has been kind of criticized a lot by EVE community, especially when they're leading into this thing's release, of it really not being an expansion, being just a big patch full of a lot of random things, which is sort of kind of true. There's really no sort of one theme to this expansion, which typically EVE's expansions have generally had some kind of theme-ish thing happening there.
Can I disagree here with this statement?
Well, I was about to go there, too.
All right, okay, you carry on then.
Anyway, you know, the one thing that I think is kind of like the stealth aspect of this, of like why everything's all kind of tied together, is performance, period. I mean, there's so much sort of stuff that's gone into this thing, which, you know, little features here and there, but the general underlying principle, the whole thing has drastically streamlined the way, you know, the client communicates with the server and vice versa, and how the server operates. I mean, everyone's, of course, heard the whole issue, you know, the stuff coming out with stackless I.O. They're doing, like, EVE64 stuff on the server end. You've got all these little client tweaks here and there with weapons grouping and stuff like that. These are all sort of geared towards performance, and it's worked. It's now worked to the point where the server lag, really, and this is just me, I've noticed, in large fights is not a problem. Like, I'm getting almost immediate response from clicking on a module. There's no, like, real massive module lag at all. Like, I'm hardly anything that I've even noticed. The real issue right now is the client. Like, client performance, now you're running into issues where, I mean, if you turn on weapon turrets effects and stuff like that, like, you're just asking for it right now, because all this stuff is, like, where the bottleneck is. That's something, I guess, they said during FanFest that they're working on. They know it's the problem, so this is now coming in the March expansion that they've announced. Right now, I mean, it's if you turn off effects, turrets, you start dealing with your brackets, and I guess there's a bracket fix that might be coming out soon. This is a nice, smooth experience, which, for an interceptor pilot, I have to tell you, is great, because nothing sucks more than saying, I'm going to go after this guy, and you hit your micro warp drive, and then you lose control of your ship because of server lag, and you fly off grid. And it's like, well, have fun, and you will go forever like that, and until you actually gain control of your ship, it's really annoying. So this really isn't an issue now.
Wake up halfway to Mars.
That's right. So, and this isn't really an issue that I noticed. So, I mean, like I said, we had a fight. There was a fight that happened. Where was it? Was it in VNG? Where was that sucker? Yeah, it was in VNG. That was the one with, like, you know, there's like a massive battle. I think it was in VNG or AZN, one of those systems. Anyway, 1,000 plus people in local which normally would bring the server to its knees. And things were... I'm not going to say it was awesome performance, because I was hearing sort of varying performance happen throughout it. So some people had no issues, and eventually they had the odd spout of lag, and you know, it was kind of on and off, and it seemed like brackets were really the culprit. But in general, though, fighting was, pretty awesome for most people that were there. So I think they did a phenomenal job on that, to be honest, because that, no matter what other features go into any expansions, in my opinion, what the game needs first and foremost is a stable experience, which up till now has been really hit or miss. So now I think you're going to start seeing, of course, the larger fleets come out and push the boundaries a bit more. But it's cool. You can actually get out and play. I think it's great.
Yeah, I've heard lots of good things about it, and you know, that was a point I was going to make about, you know, people saying it's not an expansion. And, you know, it's an expansion, but it's the stuff you don't see. Yeah, stuff which you aren't, yeah, stuff which isn't immediately obvious, like having a new ship there in front of you. But there is a new ship, but we'll come to that in a minute.
We'll get to that.
But, you know, to me, it's not stuff which is obvious, but it is, I imagine, an absolutely massive rebuilding on the whole back end of the game.
I have the perfect example for this, of how a seemingly innocent change has drastically altered the landscape and how the game is played. The Stargates. Okay, so they introduced the new Stargates, right? Which everyone looked at and goes, ooh, pretty Stargates. And they're awesome. Like, I don't know if you've seen these things. They're huge. They're massive. They're absolutely gorgeous things. And therein lies the issue. Because there's other issues that... are there things that they've tweaked in the patch notes. The patch notes are gigantic. Regarding things like warp disruptor bubbles now. Like, the mobile stuff is shrunken in size. These two go together in massively big ways. Like, in terms of... now the gate is large. So your jump-in point is now much more spread out. It's tougher for someone to lock down a gate with just a few people. You need to have an organized group to make sure that the gate is properly bubbled, or, you know, you're using heavy interdictors properly, or interceptors. You know, interceptors now are now very, very common now on gate camps, more so in my opinion than before, because they're the ones that are going to get your points on your targets, right? So you can have much larger coverage using a little bit more of a diverse camping fleet. It's just been amazing. So that one, you know, relatively small change, just like, oh, well, man, we're putting in prettier Stargates, but they're gigantic. And you just don't realize how that's going to change things until you try and set up a gate camp.
And I bet people are still complaining about, oh, it's going to make blobbing at gates. Am I right?
That argument did come up, and you do see a little bit more of it. Like, you jump in, and it's like, okay, there's a lot more ships, you know, camping this gate than before. You're seeing a lot of other ships come more into the forefront on gate camps, a lot of rapiers. You know, you're seeing a lot of, like I said, a lot more interceptors because they're faster, you know, with the points and stuff. You're seeing interceptors like, I'm actually seeing more things like the Ares, for instance, that have the boost to the disruptor range, right? So, it's kind of interesting. So, anyway, it's changed things up a lot, and of course, the speed changes was the other biggie, right? This is where they adjusted all the speeds of the ships and stuff so that the interceptors are, you know, now king. So a lot of things like, what the hell was it? Brain freeze. Hold on one sec. Oh, yeah, sorry. So a lot of ships, like, say, like the Vagabond, you know.
It's still quick, though.
It is still quick, but it's not the I win button sort of that it used to be, where you just sort of outfly everything. So it's not... people have, of course, looked at it and said, well, now there's no reason to fly the Vagabond. Well, it's still a fast ship. It's still good. You just have to be a little more capable with it. So... I don't know. It's been interesting. Like I said, because of the speed changes now, interceptors are a lot more fun to play, even though they were a blast before. But now, you're seeing a lot of them on the field of battle. A lot of the smaller sort of support ships are appearing that we've been seeing. And it's a ton of fun. It's a ton of fun, dude.
We know you like your Tyranni. We know that.
Right. But... and now a lot of other people are saying, you know what, you know, I'm just going to try one of these interceptors out and see what it's like. And you're seeing a lot more, and a lot of people are having a really fun time with them. Like, interceptors and recons, man.
And, of course, for people coming into the game, the skills you need to fly an interceptor really aren't that much, you know.
Right.
Especially if you're doing things like the factional warfare, which, yes, we are completely out of date with as well. Sorry, guys.
Well, there's really not much going on there.
But there's a lot of people learning PvP, I'm sure, still with that. And
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't cost you much in terms of time and money to get an interceptor, and you're not going to be the most effective thing off the bat, but you're going to be getting better all the time.
Right, and this doesn't necessarily mean that now interceptors are the new nanos. Like, they're fast and all, but you can definitely deal with them. I mean, you have things like the scramblers now shut down micro warp drives. So, like, that's the lower range warp disruptor or warp scrambler is a 7.5K thing. But if they get within 7.5K, you shut down their micro warp drive and they're kind of dead. So now afterburners.
I always thought that would be that's logical though.
No, it makes
warp
sense.
Drive warp scrambler, you know.
It makes sense.
Never quite, you know. I can understand from the game mechanic reasons why they might have wanted it the other way, but
right.
Just so you know, the warp scrambler wasn't an I win button, but then you know, my warp drive was for about 5 years.
Well, they gave it a point too, so to speak, because you know having the shorter range one was basically meaning you were going to eat your cap a lot more. So why bother? Because no one really does warp stabs anymore. But now there's really reason to have it. So with all of this, afterburners have come into play a lot more, which, and I haven't seen this too much, but I'm thinking of trying it out more. I think assault frigates are going to be kind of the new fun ship to fly, because you slap an afterburner on those things, they're fast, they got a tank. With the missile changes as well that they put in place that now sort of get Kaldari back to where they, in my opinion at least, should be, where their missiles kind of match the targets that they're attacking. So, you know, cruise missiles used to, like, just, you know, you volley an interceptor and you die. Whereas now that's not the case because of the changes that they made to missiles. So now missile, you know, pilots that sort of specialize in missiles got to play it a little bit smarter. Light drones got, you know, a huge boost in this now because now you can actually catch up to ships and kill them. You know, I think it's
well, they
all around.
They didn't boost it that much per se.
No.
What happened is ships slowed down and they could get them now.
But exactly. So, I mean, everyone is basically flying Hammerhead 2s, right? And they're medium Tech 2 drones, because especially on mission runners. Because why would you bring light drones to a mission if your Tech 2 mediums could just vaporize any frigate that an NPC is going to throw at you? So it was really bizarre. So now people had to adjust, you know, how the Corsair Care Bearer and the missile changes played into that as well. So I thought, all around, this is kind of... It's changed a lot of things, kind of shuffled the cards a bit more, but I think you're going to see a lot more action happening with things like assault frigates. Even though they're still technically frigates, they're able to survive a lot longer, I think at least, because of these changes. We'll see how that works out. Now, I'm thinking of trying out an Anyo here and there and seeing how that puppy works, because I miss using my Anyo. Those are fun ships.
Wow.
So yeah, and there's been other things they've added, right? You've got, like, the alchemy business, which I haven't played with.
That's Care Bear stuff.
Yes.
And you've got Hawker, which is also Care Bear stuff. That's like... Well, it's kind of a flexible, mini-industrially shippy type thing.
That's right. And it's... When we say flexible, I mean, it's... You're able to... I mean, it's... in terms of a capital ship, I mean, it's supposed to be cheap, which is kind of nice for a capital ship, I guess. But then you can sort of fit it nicely in different ways and stuff like that, so you can use it in a lot of varying industrialish type of activities. So I haven't had a chance to play with one yet, but pondered it, but the prices are still ridiculously high, obviously, because people, you know, new ship to the game, prices always go up really high and then they stabilize over time, so eventually that'll come down.
I think CK might be the person to talk to about this. Crazy Canucks, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's had a chance to play with it too much. I haven't asked him yet. I'll have to poke him about that.
Oh, and also John from the Van Hemlock podcast is also looking at it. And John, you still don't have a cool internet name. Sort it out.
What, Van Hemlock isn't cool? Come on.
No. John's his, like, sidekick.
Oh.
Just like I am allegedly your sidekick.
Ah, I see.
Yes, I do just, you know, try and bask in your glory. You do know that, don't you?
Jeez. Moving along.
I hate being complimented. It's great.
Shut up. what other ones did they have? There were bomb changes. They reduced the mineral price of making bombs because basically I think someone at CCP ran the numbers and figured that nobody's really ever used stealth bombers to, like, you know, with any real success because of the cost of bombs. No one wants to risk them.
Stealth bombers are actually, in theory, and I haven't tried it, a bit better with this patch. Because firstly, they didn't get speed nerfed like the other stuff.
Right.
So they're actually fairly still nice and fast.
And most of the frigates didn't really change too much. Like, my interceptor, really, I hardly noticed any change. But
the other with these is bombs are cheaper, and with the whole stackless IO EVE64 stuff, you're not going, you can maybe start thinking about doing cleverer stuff that you would have done before with, you know, F1 to F6. Yeah, you could start thinking about these clever tactics which a lag monster would normally just kick your ass with.
Ah, but now it's just F1, man. It's no F1 through F6 anymore.
Ah, yes.
I've been grouping
we'll
for the win.
In a minute.
Indeed.
Yep. Yes. It's not a big change, actually. I'd press a few less keys.
But... it's a bigger change than people think, man. Bigger change people think.
Yeah, well, you approve of this, do you?
I do, because, well, let's face it, you have, say you're in a Megathron, you've got 7 425-2s on your high slots, and you got to hit F1 through F7 to hit them all. You just made 7 hits to the server to do that. You group them into one, you're making one shot to the server, in one, you know, basically one communication to the server to say, I'm firing. The communication from the server back to your client is one, or to everybody else, saying you've hit with one strike. So it's all one process versus 7 that's happening per ship in a fleet. So think about that over, you know, 1,000 person, you know, mishmash happening, say, in down in the south. You're now cutting down the amount of processing the server has to do by a huge amount. Huge amount. And that's just on gun firing. So, yeah. And it's also just damn convenient. Just to smack one button versus 7. It's actually, it's pretty slick. It's really slick, man. I'm liking it a lot.
Yeah, to be honest, because I mean, certain games actually were allowed you to record your own macros for, you know, combinations of keys, fretting press.
That's right.
So I think this is a nice, you know, not quite the same thing, but, you know, it does the same kind of job.
Oh, yeah.
Vanguard. Although, can that be really called a game?
Oh, yes.
Stubborn. Games have some sort of idea that they might be fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... it's a seemingly small change, and it's helpful for a player, because now you can reload all 7 turrets at once with, you know, instead of, like, if you want to reload to a different ammo type, you would have to go through one gun to the other to do it. This one now, it's you reload the whole stack in one shot, which is awesome. So that's pretty good. Plus, they now have the visual indication of module timers as well, which is just like a little line that goes around the edge of the... yeah, so... you know, small change, it's just, that's nice and handy to know when, you know, you're cycling repair modules or something like that. It's nice to know when these things are gonna turn off. So, yeah, nice change.
Yeah, medals, I mean, alright, very superficial, but still pretty cool. And I'll tell you what, because, like, you know, when I go to, like, London meets and stuff, and I get people, normally from Sneak and stuff, going to me going, oh, you're a podcaster, what do you want, a medal? I can now go, yeah.
Exactly. Now you can get your medal. And
you actually give them to people outside your core?
Don't think so. Don't quote me on that. I never try. Of course, I can't try it. I don't think you can, though. I think it has to be in your corp. Because that's what we've been doing. It's like a corp thing, and then in order to give it to somebody, I think it's a corp part of the corp interface as well. But I could be wrong. Anyway, certificates, kind of neat. I mean, obviously, for those of us who've been around forever. Not as much of a nifty little thing. It's kind of cool, but, like, basically the idea is this essentially is a skill training plan in a way.
It's more than that, though, because, you know, if you're looking to, say, join a new corps,
yes,
you know, it's kind of like your CV as well.
No, yeah, I was getting to that, where, like, you can basically make these things public. So if you're joining a particular corp, you can say, well, look, I've got awesome skills in, like, you know, I've got, like, elite... propulsion jammer operator, so I'm like tackler extraordinaire, so like stuff like that. Plus they've got it grouped into professions as well, so you can kind of say, you know, if I want to be, you know, Galente Special Forces, you know, what do I need to have to do that? And it'll actually tell you what groups or certificates that you're going to have to you know, actually get that requirement, and by that also it'll be what skills you need to do it. It's a nice guideline, I thought, especially for newer players to kind of look and say, you know, what do I need? And some of them are a little bit weird. Like, there's some ones that, like, deal with armor that actually require shield skills, which kind of, that's a little bit strange. But
I'm sure that's in the things to be fixed list, you know.
I guess. Yeah. But it is, like I said, it's a pretty neat little, a little bit, a little, like, a way for someone to kind of track what they're doing. And, you know, it's not necessarily 100% accurate, but for a brand new player, anything's better than looking at like 500 or 600 billion skills and scratching their head and wondering how they all fit together. This kind of gives you that guideline and saying that, oh, well, there is this skill which I might not have thought had anything to do with this thing that I'm doing. And now I know that if I train it, it'll actually have an effect on, say, you know, my gun or my module of some kind. So, kind of cool idea. Like it.
Yeah. Needed, actually, to be honest. But yeah. Good idea.
Exactly.
And there's been a few changes to the map. You can now completely avoid Jita if you want to, and good idea, I'd reckon.
Yeah, the avoidance thing. It's obviously not just that system, but nowadays, actually, Jita's not too bad. So, do you really want to avoid it?
Yes, just out of, you know, sheer prejudice.
I mean, it's pretty good, actually, performance that they've been seeing the last couple days, so, especially on the weekend, which is nice and shocking. What other craziness that they have? I mean, the patch notes were just monstrous, actually, for this, and it was bigger than I thought they were going to be. So there's a lot of sort of changes across the board. But in general, though, I would say a successful patch. They did have some issues there after the first initial release, which they did the dreaded Friday patch, you know? Oh,
yeah.
Mad props to CCP Fallout for taking time out of her weekend to hang out and make sure everything went smoothly from the CCP side. Kudos to you. That was really nice.
Even so, wait till Monday.
Well, I mean, they wanted to give everyone a good weekend of fighting, or doing whatever else they're going to do performance-wise. So, and it worked, in my opinion. I mean, I went in there and all of a sudden it was like night and day in some cases. So, yeah, good.
All right. Well, fair enough then.
Yep.
Well, thank you to her and everybody else in CCP who lost their weekend for this then.
Yes, indeed. And apparently they got another patch coming out soon.
TM.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, all in all, pretty good job, really. Not that I've had a chance to get in and see it, but from what I've heard, apart from the usual whiners, it seems to have gone fairly well. Obviously, the PvP are saying we want more pew-pew, but what can you expect?
Exactly. But efforts all around.
Homework assignment. Do you have one?
Well, what did you do last time, man? Let me tell you. You recommended Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it.
Good, isn't it?
Of course it's good. I've seen it before a long, 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 long time ago. But it was good to watch it again because it's still good. Still very good. It's unusual, actually, watching it because it's not... It's an old movie, and the way it's filmed is very odd. Like, it seems like it was done, like, you know, as a college film, you know, a year ago or something. You know, like, it's a little bit more modern than one might imagine it to be of a movie that old. I thought, at least. It was quite good. Funny.
He's very funny, yes.
Yeah.
Very, very black humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, good movie. Highly recommended. Easy to find. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So, do you have a homework assignment?
Well, I was going to do one, and then you said you had something that was truly epic, so I will concede to you on this one, sir.
Okay, you can do one next week.
Sure thing.
It's not the latest news now, but, okay, well, about 2-3 weeks ago, something, you know, truly remarkable happened. Something truly stunning and inspirational. Yeah, this is the first time, I can't really just say how this is, but the first time, yeah, gentlemen of this particular skin tone got to this position, and you know, even 2 years ago, you would not have believed it could be possible. And it's just stunning this has happened, and you know, vast crowds of joy around the world about this, and really stunning news. You, of course, know what I'm talking about here.
I have no idea.
I'm talking about Lewis Hamilton being crowned world champion in Formula One.
Okie dokie.
You see what I did there?
Yes, I see what you did there.
So, we've discussed this before off the air, but yeah, Formula One is my sport, and I believe you quite like it, but the coverage in Canada isn't up to much.
Well, the time zone issue usually ends up rearing its ugly head for us. Like, they'll do something, and like, some strange country in Europe. And, you know, you have to get up at like 4 a.m. to watch it here, and it's like, big night drinking plus 4 a.m, not good.
But, you know, when you see it, you do like the sport.
Hell yeah, yeah, no, it's a blast to watch.
Yeah, so what I have got is it's a website and a podcast which goes with it. The website is called F1Rejects.com, or Formula One Rejects, and it celebrates heroic failure in Formula One.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, it's actually done by a couple of Aussie guys. A guy called Jamie McGregor is the webmaster and editor, and the site author is a guy called Enoch Law. And they also do the podcast together. And, yeah, they're a couple of Aussie guys, and, you know, they're very, very funny. They take the, you know, they know a lot about Formula One. They take the piss, they curse the, you know, truly terrible luck that Mark Webber seems to have all the time. I mean, seriously, that guy must have broken so many mirrors and walked under so many ladders. He's just cursed, right? And, yeah, they watch the Grand Prix and provide reviews of them, and they do, like, reject of the race and stuff. So, for example, you know, the Ferrari fueling equipment. That's probably a pretty good one of late.
Oh, yes, that whole business.
Yeah, and so they're, you know, it's a very, very funny podcast and website. And I say the website actually celebrates, as I said, you know, heroic failure in Formula One. So to get, they've got like reviews of all the drivers who have not done particularly well in Formula One. Yeah, because, you know, not everybody can be great at stuff. You know, for example, yeah, me and Blinky are crap at podcasts.
Nice.
True, though.
No.
So you don't like being complimented, you don't like being insulted. What do you like?
Girls.
And none of those in Eve or the internets.
Eve has girls. Guys in real life. But true, that's enough. Not the kind of girls I like, just so we're clear on that.
Yes, well, you have the Kevorka. That's enough of that.
Moving
that
along.
That will be explained on some other time. But anyway, to escape having your profile done in Formula One Rejects, providing you've got to have as a driver scored at least one first, second, third, or fourth place, a fifth place on any other top six result, or three or more sixth places, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a load of drivers here who couldn't even manage that.
Gah.
No, to be fair, I mean, some of them are, you know, genuinely very, very good but very unlucky drivers. You know, for example, Perry McCarthy was a very good driver who happened to be cursed that his only Formula One drive were for the most incompetent team in the history of it, with the Andrea Modena team, which, yes, he finally walked out of the team when they actually knowingly put him on track at Spa-Francorchamps when the car with the broken steering rack.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, yeah, he can't be blamed for that. He's in real life a very good driver. It just happened to go wrong. But at the other end of the scale, you've got people like Giovanni Lavaggi, who bought himself a drive and turned out to be 7 seconds a lap slower than everybody else. Or Al Preece. Who's the only ever Alpice, I believe, who's the Canadian.
Yay!
The only ever driver in Formula 1 history to be black flagged for being too slow.
Yes!
Managed to finish a race 37 laps behind the leader.
Someone had to go for that record. Might as well be a Canuck. Go Canada.
Yes. But I say that, you know, so it's quite a mix of, you know, as I say, drivers who go from, you know, very good but unlucky to truly terrible. And it's quite amusing. And they've also got a list of some of the most epic failed teams, which again, in much the same way, you know, works in much the same way. So, you know, you've got teams which, you know, were genuinely triers at the back of the grid and just unlucky. So, for example, you know, Armand or, you know, Fonmetal, things like that. And then you've got ones which, you know, were just unlucky when the sponsors pulled out or things didn't work, like, you know, Pacific or Singtec. You just were really unlucky. And then you've got ones which were, you know, truly, truly, truly crap, like MasterCard Lola.
Nice.
So, yeah. Or Euroburn, which managed a whole year in Formula One without a single race start.
That takes skill, man. Come on.
Yes, I think so. Colonnini, who did 4 years, right, for 4 years, right, were in Formula One, racked up 67 failures to make qualifying.
Ouch.
So anyway, it's the F1 Rejects website and podcast. The podcast is excellent. You can get it on iTunes, and it's all there on the website. Make sure you check it out. There's a link there for you, Blinky, to check out.
Wee! It has links. And
it has links. And yeah, next week it's your turn. But make sure you check this out. You've got no excuses now.
Hey, I checked out your last one. Jeez. Can't get no worse.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Anyway, what else have you been playing? Well, me, I've been playing at Make Power Station Work. It's a great game. What have you been playing?
Left 4 Dead, man. Left 4 Dead.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've had Croven raving at me about just how good this game is.
It's a blast. Very briefly, obviously, if you haven't played this game, you really should check it out. It's available on Steam or Xbox 360. But you basically, it's a zombie game. It's a zombie first-person shooter. You run around, you shoot zombies. But the cool part is, it's four-player co-op. So if you're playing single-player, you got three bots with you. If you set up the game in a weird, you can set it up as an online friends-only game, so your buddies can drop in and out if you want, which is kind of fun. But then, of course, there's the online modes where you play. You can just jump into a game with three random people on the internet, and it's actually a lot of fun because you have to really take care of each other. Like, there's a zombie apocalypse happening, and you got to run around and shoot zombies. But they're trying to always kill you. They're not like the slow lumbering zombies, or like the 28 days later run at you with everything they got zombies. So
Turbo Corpse.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, you can get hurt a lot, and then you have very few health items in the game. So each person gets like one health back at the start, the selection of weapon, and it's usually like pretty basic stuff: submachine gun, pistols, you know, shotguns, blah 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 blah. Molotov cocktails, awesome for zombie barbecues, zombie cues, as it were. But the idea is you can heal other players. So if somebody's really getting hurt a lot and you're okay, you can run up and use your health pack on them and save their ass. You can give them pain pills, temporary relief from death, which is kind of funny. But give me an aspirin so I don't die. But at any rate, it's actually really fun how this works, because the whole time the game is actually watching what you're doing, watching how well you're doing it, and figuring out ways to completely ruin your day. So they call it the AI director, and it's doing things like changing lighting and effects, music even, throwing massive hordes of zombies at you at the worst possible time. Like, hold on, I'm about to die, I'm trying to heal, and you got your buddies trying to cover you, all of a sudden the thing throws like 8 hordes of zombies at you. And then, of course, you get the zombie bosses that are out there, there's various ones. So it's quite cool, and the game is organized into four, they call them movies, but they're basically like these four little miniature campaigns, each one having four levels to run through, and then a finale area, which is just absolute madness. So total gameplay, if you're to run through it, you're looking at maybe 4 or 5 hours, maybe, which seems small, but we're talking almost infinite replayability because of the fact that every game is different, because the AI director really shifts things around for you. You might not even get good weapons throughout an entire game, because if you're doing so well, it's going to be like, well, I'm going to make this tougher for you and not give you the good weapons, or cut down the amount of health you're going to get, like health packs. So really clever, tons of fun. It's fun just jumping in there. But the good bit is like the versus mode. So, because you can play 4-on-4, where 4 players are people, and 4 players are zombies. Technically, I guess you're still people, but people just dead. But anyway, there's like the survivor versus undead mode. And that's fun, because you play through like that, and then the sides switch, and then the same levels play through, so survivors get a chance to play a survivor and undead. So, when you're playing undead, you get to play as one of the undead zombie bosses, if you will. And each one has their own funny little ways of attacking and screwing up the survivor team. And it's a blast. It's an absolute blast, because it totally changes how you have to coordinate with your team to screw the humans over, because obviously you're a lot more delicate than one of the survivors is, oddly enough, considering you're dead. But the strategies and tactics change up entirely. It's a lot of fun just to ruin someone's game that way. Of course, and they get to do it to you as well the next round. So, ton of fun, that game. Highly recommended. If you can pick it up, it's well worth the price, even though it may look expensive for just basically 4 or 5 hours of content, if you will. But you can pretty much play it forever. It's a blast. It's like Team Fortress that way.
It's on Steam, isn't it?
It is on Steam. I think it's about 40 or 45 bucks or something like that. I paid 40, I think, at the time because it was the pre-order, and we got advanced access to the beta. It's basically stress testing the servers. But it's a lot of fun. Yeah, they do. The game does a really good job of freaking you out sometimes because of the way the lighting works. Excellent buy, that one.
I hear when you get to the end, right, the credits have got you there, but if any of your party have died on the way, it goes, this game is in memory of, and then the names of your party who died.
Yeah.
And then you've also got 498 zombies were killed in the making of this. No, 498 zombies were harmed in the making of this game.
Yeah, it does. It's funny, actually. That happened to me. I was playing just through one of the campaigns, and I was covering the rest of my AI squad while they got into this airplane. And I end up getting killed on, it's this big military transport. It's got the big open back end stuff. I was killed backing my way up into this ramp, and the zombie horde just mauled me to pieces. And so the credits roll, and it's like in memoriam of Winterblink, and it's like, it's like Winterblink as Lewis, deceased. And then it's like at the end, yeah, it was like 1,200 zombies were harmed in the making of this movie. It's very clever, and they just got all these crazy stats of, you know, like how you perform during it, and some really good achievements as well, Steam achievements. It's really funny. It's really fun to play with a bunch of buddies. And like I said, they can come in and out of the game as they want. And they've got really cool features that if you need to, like, go, I don't know, put some clothes in the dryer or something, you can, there's like a take a break option. As long as you're not in the finale, you can kind of go like, oh, I'm going to take a break. So the AI takes over for you, and then you can come back and just jump right back into it. It's really pretty clever. So
the Valve hits the mark again.
Yeah, I'd say. Other than that, of course, I've been playing a ton of Eve. Been doing some Little Big Planet on the PS3. Dead Space, 2 thumbs up. That game is absolutely amazing. One of the scariest freaking games I think I've ever played on the PS3 and Xbox, and I think PC as well. Of course, Fallout 3. It's been a gaming mecca here in like October, November. So I've been kind of shuffling around between quite a few games, and that's been quite a challenge actually to put any of them through to completion. But good stuff, man.
So, community news.
Yes, community news. What's been going on? Clear Skies. Remember Clear Skies?
How could I forget?
Yeah.
You remember we interviewed Ian or John Rourke, depending on your point of view, and I actually met him as well in real life. And what a sound dude! And I also met, and I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. You know the engineer dude?
I know. I don't remember the name either. My bad.
Yeah, but yeah, I met him as well, and Benny was there, Vanilla Pax was there. That was a good, piss up. But of course I remember that. Yeah. And you do the news, dude.
Sorry. He's awesome. Yeah, so he has won a Machinima Award.
He has.
He has won it. The Machinima Festival has awarded him with what was it that they gave him? Hold on 1 second here.
Best long film.
That was it. Best long film.
Yeah, it's the Mackie Awards or something.
Excellent job. 2 thumbs up. Well deserved.
Yeah, well deserved, absolutely. And did you see at FanFest as well on one of the videos? Clear Skies 2 is on its way.
Yes, which is good.
Woohoo!
Doing some reading, I've heard some bits that they've kind of process is a little bit shorter, so it shouldn't take like 2 years to actually complete this time, so woohoo.
Yep.
Very, very good news.
Really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Let's see, hold on. What's this going on?
So if you want to check out, the winners list, because there's some other really good films on there as well, go to festival.machinima.org And they'll actually have the list there. Notes, things in the show notes. I'll give you the link to this now as well. And yeah, it's congratulations to everyone who won, but especially to the Clear Skies guys. That rhymes.
Very clever. You're a poet. Excellent.
I didn't know it.
Yeah. Ha ha. So yeah, is that? What else has been going on? There's been like a, I don't know. It's almost too much. Because I mean, it's been been so long.
Okay, well, the next bit of news, which I am personally extremely excited about, tournament is back.
Yes, tournament is back. I was going to get into that one, by the way. But anyway.
Thank God for that, because I was getting worried there, guys. It's been a little while. We got a dev blog from CCP Charlie.
We're on a bridge, Charlie.
You know what Charlie is in Cockney rhyming slang?
No.
It's a nickname for cocaine.
What?
It is.
For what?
Cocaine.
The hell is that?
Cocaine.
Oh, you said cocaine. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we've done this before, this argument.
The fact that you're English and can't speak it? Anyways.
And it was actually CCP Mindstar who posted it, so yes, we do know who that is.
Yes. So
he's Australian.
Trouble, those Aussies. Very good news. It's good that they... people were starting to wonder, where are the tournaments? Because it's been a while. And this was brought up during FanFest, which we'll get to in a bit, but... that it's just, it gets expensive for them to do these tournaments. Like, obviously you got to fly people in, you got to get everything all set up, you got a bandwidth cost and blah, blah, blah. So they're looking more towards getting, I guess, tournament-like tools to the players to set up their own thing. And I guess part of this, there's some kind of arena business that's coming out. So you'll be able to go into like an arena, put various things on the line in terms of like, you know, your ship or whatever, race for pink slips, I guess, in a way.
What?
Race for pink slips. It's like a slang for, like, you know, the registration of a vehicle. Anyway. Watch more movies. Watch Fast and Furious. Anyway. Because it's so accurate. But anyway, the arena will let you do things like this, where you can put your ship on the line or bet ISK or whatever, and then go and kill people and basically make your own tournament. So we'll see how that comes out, but that's obviously a long ways away. But official tournaments, it's been a while, but now they got one coming out, and this is happening... When is this happening? This is happening pretty soon.
Yeah, it's happening... basically, you've got the pre-tournament stuff, which is going to be the 24th and 25th, 31st and 1st of February, which are weekends.
Right.
Right, so that's going to be the sort of qualifying rounds, and then you've got the finals, which is going to be the 7th and the 8th of February. 7th, incidentally, is my birthday, which is cool.
Cool.
Thank you, CCP. That's a great present.
So how old will you be?
Too old.
38?
No. I'll probably feel it by then if this winter carries on going.
Just checking. But yeah, the cool bit about the qualifying rounds, we kind of just whizzed by it, but that... is not bad, because I mean, you can actually, like, there are, it's like 64 slots, right? So obviously they'll whittle it down through the qualifying rounds, but that lets more people initially compete, which is cool, because that was one of the things of all the tournaments that a lot of people have said they want to have more alliances being able to actually compete. While this might not mean that you're going to get to the finals, this at least gets you in, and you can go in and you have a shot at making it into the final 32, I think. So yep. Kind of cool.
Yeah, EVE TV will be back for the final weekend, and presumably they're going to be doing some sort of radio-style broadcast, maybe over EVE Voice or one of the radio stations. I don't know, I haven't seen anything for the actual qualifying rounds, so both of which I think are pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can't wait. You know I love the tournament, Blinky.
Everyone loves a tournament. Most people do.
Probably, well, apart from CCP's accountants, by the sound of it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's awesome. Players, I think the majority of them do get into it. It's fun because when the rules come out, everyone's kind of looking at them going, how best can we exploit the rules, you know? Or, like, you know, it's kind of cool being able to see what people field during the tournaments. It's very creative, I think, at least, to sort of say, what's their solution to the, you know... It's hard to kind of come up with the one-size-fits-all solution, right? Because it's almost impossible, because you never know what the other guys are going to field. So it's pretty clever. I always like watching them for that reason alone.
So, yep. There's also, actually, they're going to be doing applications to become one of the experts. You know, you'll be commentating on matches and chilling on the sofa and generally having a pretty damn fun time in Iceland. Mm-hmm. You've got to be over 21 to do this, and yep. You've obviously got to be really clued up on PvP and able to spare the time on all three weekends and fly up to Iceland.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, something like that. The under 21 business is very similar to what they did for the CSM. They're not allowing... CSM's case, there was a notable exception, but...
We will come to that in a minute.
Yeah, I think it's hard and fast for this one, though. They're not going to budge. So, got to be over 21, sorry.
So if you feel that, you know, your liver can stand, you know, being in Iceland for a weekend, and if, you know, you feel you can stand the pressure of being on live TV, and believe me, this is actually a lot harder than you think. And, well, I don't know. Go for it. I mean, I'm assuming you're going to get very cool people who work at CCP, like Mindstar, stroke James W. there, and I don't know, is Stevie, I know she was out doing some of the FanFest stuff, does she work at CCP? Will she be there? I don't know, I hope she is, because she's damn good, but...
Heart, Stevie.
Yeah, we like Stevie.
Stevie's great.
So, yeah, hopefully she'll be there, but there are bound to be a load of very cool people there. And if you think you're up to it, go for it.
Yep. And, of course, for anyone who's thinking of competing, this is, the entrance fee is, like, what, 500 million? Something that's like half a billion-esque or something like that to join.
Pocket change. With that ship you had in your fail mail, you could, like, get in 9 times.
Well, you get it back. I mean, it's just you have to show up and fight. That's all it is. But, pocket change for the fun, at least. It's usually very neat as a corp to... sit down and coordinate with people to come up with a team and come up with how you guys are going to approach it, who's going to fly it. You know, it's quite cool to see. So I hope a lot of people and a lot of alliances that we may not have seen in tournaments before, you know, actually do join in, because that's usually where you get the whole black horse in the running, right? The guy who you don't know who the heck they are, but they're doing really, really well. It's quite,
yep, a lot of people have made their names like that.
Yep.
So you're going to be part of the BDCI team, are you, Blinky?
We're in a corp. Like, we're as a corp. We're not, like, in an alliance. It's an alliance tournament, dude.
Yeah, but you can form the BDCI alliance if you wanted.
I don't know.
Doesn't cost much.
I know.
Then I can, like, bet $100 million on you again and watch you go down the drain again.
I love those agonized screams over MSN, sitting at work, big smile on my face. Urban's like,
my tears
no!
Pulls my tears nourish you, do they?
They do. You pull like a Darth Vader at the end of episode 3. No! My money! Oh, God.
Anyway. There's bound to also be a gambling element to this, which is also great fun, and yeah, feel free to stake money a lot more sensibly than I normally do.
Mm-hmm. So this will be happening soon. They got the initial rules up in the actual Alliance Tournament forum that they have on the Eve site. We'll link to it. And, check it out. It should be, I hope people compete that we haven't seen before. It should be good to see how they compete against people who we have seen before. So, yeah, looking forward to this. Big time.
Yeah, and best of luck, everybody.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, moving on. We've had CSM again. Ooh, rhymes again. Wow.
CSM 2.0.
Yeah. This time it's personal.
Yes.
There's been a few changes. La Vista, despite looking like he might not even be allowed in, actually they let him in and he got elected again. So congrats, La Vista.
Yes.
And can I also say congratulations to our friend Omba Zombie from way down there in Oz.
Yes.
Yeah, he just missed out last time, but this time round, you know, he got elected quite comfortably, and congratulations to you, sir.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, since Urban's so keen on congratulating everybody but Vuk Lao, I hope I'm saying that right, from Serbia, who won. Congratulations to you, sir. Morsi Mihi, top dog.
Yeah, good, good man. Good and go. There's a couple of returning, because Darius Johnson was in last time. The one with the very long Egyptian name. Yeah. She's back.
Yes. Welcome back, all. Who and, you know, welcome to, of course, the new people who got in. We'll see how this goes.
I can see one potential problem here. Isa Dranzi from the United States, right? Got 666 votes.
Yeah. The number of the beast. Awesome. Oh, man. Yeah, so anyway, well, hopefully we'll see some good results out of this one. Not that we didn't see good results out of the first one, although it's, you know, admittedly one of those things that's hard to measure, seeing as the pace of any changes they might have actually, you know, got through to CCP. You won't see them, you know, the fruits of that labor until far down the line. I think it's
fair to say that I, you know, was surprised that this worked as well as it did. I must admit I was a cynic, but yeah, it did work better than I thought it would.
Yeah, and then I think anyone who thought the first one was going to be a smooth, awesome ride was high on glue, because 1.0 versions of anything, especially Windows operating systems and stuff, you know, not good.
Windows 1.0.
God. So, I mean, everyone kind of knew that things weren't going to be totally smooth, and they had their rocky issues as well throughout that whole business. So, but...
But anybody like me who thought it would completely suck from the very beginning was also equally wrong.
Right. So there was definitely some drama that happened throughout it. Of course, there'll no doubt be drama that happens throughout CSM, too. But it'll be interesting to see how this one progresses forward. Hopefully people learn from the past mistakes and learn from the past successes as well. Looking forward to seeing what they end up doing. But yeah, so that's CSM 2. Crazy Canucks has been doing something rather interesting.
He always is.
He does some pretty crazy stuff, in addition to some really awesome FanFest coverage, which we'll get to shortly. EVE Blog Banter, he started this. And basically this is a monthly EVE blogging thing that he's... Well, it's basically he gets suggestions for topics, and the EVE bloggers out there in the blogosphere for EVE blog about it. Blog, blog, blog. Blog, blog, blog. I say blog a bunch more. So it's kind of cool. They get these little topics, which could be anything. And the last one here for EVE Blog Banter number 2 was, what drew us into EVE? What keeps us playing the game? And what brought us back if we ever left? And so then basically... each of the EVE bloggers in Crazy Canucks' big blog pile writes a response of some kind on their own blog, and then he links it back on his for the actual blog banter post that he does on his website, crazycanucks.com. So, kind of a cool read to read all the different perspectives on it. It's a neat little way of doing it. It gives some nice direction for some of the bloggers out there who kind of just generally fear all over the place. So it's nice to sort of get like a directed discussion going. Very cool idea. Awesome reads.
He's got a new podcast, too.
He does. The Micro Warp Drive podcast? Did I say it right?
Yeah. Nothing to do with us, so don't think that it's, you know, the name's got anything similar.
Sorry, it's the Micro Warp cast. But yeah, he's basically...
You've probably noticed by the quality of it that and the regularity of it, put me teeth back in, yes, that it's nothing to do with us.
Yes.
Far better.
But he's basically doing a lot of what he does in his speed linking stuff and does it in podcast form, which is a very cool idea. It's a nice, it's a good listen, actually. So if you give it a whirl, and we'll link it up in the show notes. Awesome stuff. And they're up to like, what, episode 3 or 4?
3, I believe, yeah. DK is the man.
one other thing that came up last couple of months here. There's a new little website on there called Massive Gamer at massivegamer.com. So it's a website plus a magazine, and they approached me to sort of handle to be kind of like their little Eve correspondent, if you will. So I have like a little weekly article series that's running there. So yeah, I know, shameless self promotion, but give it a look. See, it's actually a pretty cool site. They got they're new, so content is actually coming a lot faster than I thought it was going to be. So this is actually, it's kind of a neat little website. The people that are involved in this have been involved in MMO media stuff in the past, so it's got some really good backing happening there. And there's some good direction. So it's a nice little site. Give it a look-see, massivegamer.com. And yeah, check out my little article there. So again, it's going to be a weekly thing. It's not something that's affiliated with, of course, the podcast or anything else. And it's just a community thing. So I just kind of show up and write some stuff, and they put it up. So yeah, hope everyone likes.
That's Dana Massey's thing, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah, you may not know the name Dana Massey, but he is a very, very good journalist, and I believe he was also a game designer on Wish going back in the day.
Yeah, he's been around.
He's also Canadian, like you.
Yes, he is. And I met him at FanFest a couple years back. Really nice.
He bought us lunch.
Yeah, and so, I mean, basically, you know, when Dana Massey tells you to jump, man, you ask how high. So, God, I hope he doesn't listen to this. Anyway. So anyway, but no, he asked if I wanted to do it, and I said, yeah, sure. So I think it'll be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's quite a good seal of quality, really. Because he did a load of stuff on MMORPG back in the day,
yeah,
before it started really sucking.
Yeah, he was on MMORPG.com and then Warcry as well.
Yeah, but back when MMORPG was good and actually relevant to MMOs...
Hey, if you need a beta key, look no further than MMORPG.com's front page. They might as well just call it MMORPGBetaKeys.com now, because it's like, that's almost all they have there. It's just crazy. I'm not looking to, you know, smack, but just, I used to go there all the time, and I just see it being more advertisement, and which is essentially what beta is nowadays. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, getting off topic.
Yeah.
So then they had this other thing that happened back in November. FanFest?
FanFest?
What's this about, man?
Something about fans?
Some dudes? In Iceland? With other dudes?
One or two girls, possibly.
Yeah. So.
Possibly.
Anyway. Seems to be through FanFest in November again. I wanted to go, but all the community coverage that was out there was almost like being there. It was crazy. Pictures and videos and blogs and all sorts of madness.
So just like being there without the damage to your wallet
and
or
liver.
The alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, and the liver. Oh. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's quite a few people out there who are putting content up, but some of the biggest ones who are very active in getting it out there to the community directly through the forums and stuff like that was people like Crazy Canucks. He had stuff going on his Flickr, both pictures and video form, which was epic. Very good stuff, dude. Again, my hat's off to you.
Mm-hmm. And there's some good CCP stuff out there, and the keynotes and stuff.
There is, and they've got all the videos online now, so you can actually go check those out at the Eve forums. They've got the link out there on the site somewhere. I'll find them and track them and put them in the links for you here in the podcast notes. But yeah, some good stuff. Seeing what they're going to do with graphics is pretty awesome. Did you see the new Energy Vampire animation? That's good stuff.
Oh, I miss so much. Give me link.
Well, it's a humongous video. It'll be right in the middle of it, but, well, yeah, you'll have to go look. But, yeah, anyway, they're abusing a particle system for this, and it looks really cool. Way better than the current.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that particle abuse is something we should be all in favor of.
Totally. Well, it's more modern, and it doesn't kill your video card as bad as what they're doing right now in a lot of the effects. So this is all stuff that's going to be tweaked soonish, hopefully. So, yeah, nice to see it all in action. Well, a couple things in action. Of course, they had all the stuff with ambulation. just some general really nifty keynote stuff on where they're going. Tech 3, Lego ships, dude, Lego ships. Tell me that isn't neat. Everyone loves Lego.
Yeah. I've got happy memories of getting up as a kid and treading on Lego and then hopping around the room in pain and treading on more Lego that way, and rinse and repeat, your leg falls off.
God, you're messy as a kid.
But, it hasn't changed.
But in this case, now you're going to have a hangar full of all these little bits and pieces. No, but I mean, kind of cool, configurable ships. I have a sneaky suspicion that what you're going to see is the ability to make stuff that's really, really good for one particular thing and completely horrible for everything else. And it's going to be like you're going to have, you know, an Achilles body, basically. It won't be like just your heel. You'll have the one part of you that's really awesome for the one thing that you do. Everything else is going to be the massive weakness. Or you'll be like a generalist ship that'll be worse than like a Tech 2 version of that or whatever it will be. Like, I don't know. Yeah, you know, like, it's just going to be... I think it's going to be really neat to see, because you just won't know what the heck you're fighting against, because... You know, unless they find some way of getting that info to you in an easier way than the show info window.
I can see this being a little bit of a nightmare to balance, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying, is I think
it needs quite a lot of time on Sizzy here.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I think that's why I'm saying, is that I think the only way that's going to be balanced is that you're going to say, you know, be able to make a ship that's, I don't know, really, really good at sniping or something, or has, like, really awesome range or something, but can be completely, like, you know, a glass cannon. Like, something looks at you and you die. You know, or, you know, whatever. But it's trying to sort of try and be the jack of all trades will make you worse than anything else in the game, that a Tech 1 ship would be able to outpace you. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they end up tweaking this. Again, they're really light on info. They just kind of showed off some of the Lego pieces, if you will, and it looks neat. I'm interested to try these out on CC and see how they actually work out.
Absolutely, but we could be waiting a little while.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Same thing goes for Ambulation. I think that's going to be quite a ways off. But yeah, so anyway, they showed off quite a bit there. And of course had their gigantic party, as they always do, which I miss. I hate missing that thing. That was an awesome party. The end of FanFest, absolutely brilliant. Urban gets drunk.
Yeah, you carry on. You don't, I guess.
No, I'm saying Urban gets drunk, and, you know, madness ensues. It's a good
madness
time.
Madness does ensue, but did this one have the CCP Rocksaw band singing again?
Yeah. As far as I know, it did, yeah. They do this every year.
Do you remember last year? Wasn't Val awesome?
She is really
Val,
good.
Yeah, Val is Pan, for those of you who don't know, and she was there singing Led Zeppelin, and it's like, holy hell!
Yeah, I mean, literally, you're standing there talking to people, and you're like, oh, who the heck have they got on the stage? And, yeah, you're going, is that Pan? Like, how the hell? I mean, you would never figure it, but God, she's got an amazing voice.
Me and Richie were there at the front of the stage doing the sort of Wayne's World, we're not worthy, we're not worthy.
Did you throw your bras on stage?
We forgot to.
Anyway.
It's not Tom Jones, you know.
Oh, man. So there was actually something interesting. There was a thread that was started on the forums. I'm trying to track it down as we speak. It was basically one of the guitarists smashed his guitar and basically let the audience loot the wreck, but the problem was the guitar strap is like this thing that he's had like forever, right? It's like a special, there we are. Of course it's got a name, which is ridiculous, so I'm just gonna fuck it up. CCSP Skelibjala. Skelibjala.
Oh, I know him. He's a quite big dude. Guitarist.
He's a Viking, man.
No. You know what I mean? Because there's skinny Vikings and large Vikings, and he's of the large persuasion.
I think you're thinking of a different fella.
No, I know who I'm thinking of.
I know who you think you're thinking of, but I think you're thinking of a different fella. Anyway.
Well, give me the link anyway.
So anyway, this anyway, yeah. So this was smashed, and he would like it back. So if you're listening to this and you manage to loot that particular guitar strap, it's a sentimental value thing, and I guess they say they will provide a finder's fee of some kind to the individual who does return it to him, because it's very important. But so if you're nice, give it a whirl.
So thank you to everyone for listening for our first combat podcast in a long time.
Oh God. You want to do that over again?
No. I would like somebody to psychoanalyze what just happened there in my head.
You're itching.
Come up with an explanation, please.
You're itching to get back into the game and get fighting.
Yes. That could be, yeah. I am itching to, get a sensible work schedule, so maybe. I may be considering combat against my boss pretty soon.
Go for it. But yeah, anyway.
To be fair, though, he's, absolutely snowed under as well. It's not like he's going, go there, fix that. He's run off his feet as well, so...
No good.
Size too much.
That's good. But yeah, so, anyway, we apologize for taking so damn long to get this podcast out, but, cross fingers. Next one should be a lot sooner.
Hopefully.
Yes? Yes, Urban?
Hey, it all depends on the Bader-Meinhof cult.
God.
People are going to go back to Wikipedia and look up who they are.
Maybe.
So yeah, guys, see you next week.
And fly. Ish. And fly safe. Ish.